Well, I'd like to formally welcome you to this Surf Coast Shire meeting, a special meeting. My name is Councillor Rose Hodge and I'm the Mayor of the Surf Coast Shire. I'd firstly like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we meet today and pay respect to their elders past and present. I would also like to acknowledge the citizens of Surf Coast Shire. I would like to acknowledge that we meet in unprecedented times with a COVID-19 pandemic and a range of restrictions placed on council and our community. I wish to thank everyone who has been doing the right thing and keeping us all safe. I also understand that these are difficult times for many people, and I look forward to a future where we can find ourselves in more normal times. On behalf of the Surf Coast Council, I wish to express my condolences to the families and fellow officers of the four members of the Victorian Police who were tragically killed on Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2020, in the line of duty. Perhaps so you would like to say a few words, Councillor McKittrick, and lead us into a minute's silence, please. Everyone stand. Very quick minute. Okay, thank you, Councillor McKittrick. Today's meeting is unusual, but there are still principles to uphold. The purpose of the meeting is the business of Council to concur. I know people are very passionate about a range of issues and hold a range of views. I ask that we show due respect to each other, that we behave in a manner that is appropriate. Thank you to the Member of Public. He is sitting distance away. I would like to inform you that the Council meeting is being audio recorded. The audio recording will be made available on Council's website as soon as possible after the Council meeting has occurred. For councillors, I ask that everyone keep their laptops on mute unless you are speaking to help get a good quality of recording. I would now like to ask Councillor Duke, would you like to say the pledge, please? Sorry if you got it there. Sorry. Okay. While we're finding that, and you need to turn your sound off as well. Thank you. Margot, have you got the pledge up? The pledge? Can you say it, please?
Yeah. As councillors, we carry out our responsibilities with diligence and integrity and make fair decisions of lasting value for the well-being of our community and environment.
Thank you. Are there any apologies, councillors? Councillor McIntyre, yes? Is an apology? Do I have a mover to accept that? Thank you, Councillor Smith and Councillor Goldsworthy. All those in favour? And it's unanimous. Thank you. Well, I'm sorry, Councillor. We're not moving now. We've started the procedure. All right, if you move into the shade.
Thank you.
Any declarations of conflicts of interest, councillors? No? Councillors, I would like to remind you the speaking times. These times are very important, especially today, as we should try to avoid gathering any longer than we need. The move of the motion may speak for a maximum of 5 minutes to open the debate and then a further 2 minutes. To exercise their right of reply, and every other speaker can speak for 3 minutes. To assist councillors with this, I will signal to you when your time is now up. Moving on to 1.1, the adoption of the draft budget 2021.
I commit.
Councillor Goldsworthy, a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Smith. Councillor Goldsworthy. You don't have to stand.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be brief. We're here today to endorse and vote on the adoption of the draft budget. It's very important that we remember it is the draft budget. If it is adopted today, it will then go out for public consultation and public comments and a hearing of submissions on the 23rd of June. And then councils will then review all of the hearings of submissions and public comments with the intention to bring the formal budget back to the council meeting on the 23rd of June.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Councillor Smith?
A comment that it would have been nice to actually have been able to have a budget that continued on with our four-year plan, but unfortunately, we've got a pause. What we're trying to actually achieve in this budget is continuation of important things, things that are right for the community, but also take into account consideration of the impacts of COVID-19 on our community, our businesses and our individuals. And people that go through this document will see the support that's actually in there. And I hope that in reading the document that they actually consider what we've put in there to do, and if they've got other good ideas around things to actually bring forward and help us recover. Because hopefully by the time we get to the end of June and we start the new financial year, we might be in a different sort of phase and not quite the phase that we're in now. So I do hope that the community has the chance to look at this. I think it's a great document to be able to read and go through in isolation and consider very carefully. And I know that there are people suffering in different sorts of ways, and there may be some other opportunities that we haven't considered.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Councillor Revelle? Thank you, Councillor. Anyone else like to speak on this? Councillor McKittrick?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Apologise for not having the Zoom on earlier. Look, this budget, you must be aware it's a draft budget, and we're looking at some very serious financial implications that in reality we don't know what will be as a result of the COVID-19 issue and the pandemic. But this is a budget that is obviously, that's front and centre of the budget. There's significant money that has been set aside for ensuring future business and community that they can continue forward, whatever way that is. It's an unknown, but there is significant money there to assist. We're also quite mindful of people that are struggling in regards to rates and in regards to employment and how that affects their ability to pay rates, etc., and also charges and fees. So this is a budget that is looking at that. Look, I'm very encouraging community to review this budget, have a look at it, and see what you think in regards to the rate rise, to the implications around any of the services that are being reduced or should be reduced. But put your views forward to councillors and officers so we can have a look and determine that through the hearing submission process, and in the end make a decision that's sound for the community. But we also be mindful that there's economic uncertainty, and this is a budget that's trying to ensure that this shire will continue on in the future despite the issues around the COVID-19 situation.
Thank you, Councillor Kitchick. Anyone else? Councillor Wellington?
So, Madam Mayor, I'm certainly supporting the budget being released for community consultation, but like Councillor McKittrick, I very much encourage people to look at this very closely. I'm concerned, particularly at the moment, most community groups aren't meeting, and I'm very concerned that we're rushing this budget through. We did have an opportunity to delay the budget for 2 months. The state government has given us that. We've elected not to take it, and I believe we should have taken that. My significant concern about this budget is we're ploughing ahead with a 2% rate increase at a time of extreme, predicted extreme economic hardship. And obviously we are allocating money to community recovery, but my view is we should have taken a different approach. We should have reduced our rates and tightened our belts at this time, recognising that our residential rates are already significantly higher than those of our peer group councils. So we're allocated a peer group by state government, and ours are the second highest in the peer group already, more than double the lowest rating council in the residential group in our peer group. So I think we're already on a very high base. We're 30% higher than residential rates in our neighbouring city of Greater Geelong. We're in a highly privileged sector of the economy where we can set our own rates within the cap, and we're assured of recovery of debts plus 10% penalty interest when people sell their properties. Now, we're deferring that penalty interest for a short time in this budget, but the fact remains that we really need to use that power properly, in my view. And the suggestion that we can't reduce our rates because it would impact on our long-term financial plan, frankly, in this setting, in my view, that is ridiculous. COVID-19 will impact the country's long-term plans for generations, and I don't see why we as a shire should be immune. I support the rebate to commercial and residential, commercial and industrial ratepayers, which will maintain their rates on average at the same level as last year. But residential owners will bear the brunt of the increase this year. I certainly support the waiver of penalty interest until 2021, middle of 2021, and allowing ratepayers to negotiate deferrals. But the reality is that there'll be a second bout of financial stress when each deferral concludes and the bill is still owed. And of course, there'll be recurring rate bills on top of that. And frankly, I have to say, I'm quite horrified that in our hardship policy, it will require people who wish to apply for a waiver of rates to submit their private financial information to the scrutiny of all of the 9 councillors. Oh. And the numerous staff who routinely sit around this table. And I believe that, honestly, as a policy, is disrespectful and will deny those experiencing exceptional hardship the dignity that they deserve. And it almost seems designed to ensure nobody applies. I'm not suggesting that's the intent, but I think that will be the effect. Madam Mayor, I'll just wind up. I believe the hardship policy should provide for confidential assessment by a qualified and compassionate independent person, and it should be similar to the City of Greater Geelong, allowed to a limit of $1,000.
Thank you, Councillor.
If I can just ask for an extension of time, Madam Mayor, There's a proposed 2.8% or 7%, I think, increase in council law remuneration. I don't support that.
Time, thank you. Was there any other councillors that would like to speak on this? Would you like to close, Councillor Goldsworthy? Thank you. Oh, good, that's good. Go to the press. Councillor Goldsworthy?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Nothing further to really add there. I think it's well covered by my fellow councillors. I just look forward to this going out into public submission and looking forward to hearing the feedback from our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Everyone, can you put a hand up? Thank you. Thank you. That was unanimous by everyone. Sorry, I've got to report it to the governance ladies. 1.2, the quarterly financial statements as per Local Government Act. Do I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Smith. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Revelle. Councillor Smith?
Quite straight. Circumstances that we face ourselves in, and I think a review of the financial report will show that we're actually a little bit ahead of budget, which is probably a good situation to be in right now, because we're going to actually need that buffer. But you know, there is quite a bit to go forward.
Thank you, Councillor Revelle.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to add briefly, we are in a sound position. We're fortunate with our recurrent EBITDA and into revenue and other things have put us in a good position moving forward, and that's particularly important at this time as we are moving into an area of uncertainty and such things as rate collections and so on. Whilst they may be on target at the moment, there's no guarantee that will remain so for the balance of this year or indeed next. But we are in a fortunate position where I think we can meet the challenges that we're going to face over the next year or so.
Thank you, Councillor Revelle. Anyone else like to speak on this? I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Moving on to 1.3, the support package including new hardship policy and CEO delegations. Do I have a mover? Yes, I think everyone had that alternative. Tablet, there was a hard copy printed out. So, Councillor Smith, do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Bell.
Rather than read out what it is, Madam Mayor, I'll just sort of state that the purpose of this amendment was to address to ensure that the delegation changes that we'd made for the CEO were quite open and transparent. That delegation was going to be related to projects and to contracts that were already included in the budget. But what this actually amendment does is make it quite transparent about exactly which of those contracts and projects that they relate to. So I'm pleased we're actually able to state that it's related to Stribling Reserve and to the Cartage and Telecommunications Services. And once we get through this budget proposal, I think what we'll find then is that we'll be putting it other projects that fall into next year's budget into that same category. We've gone through this this hardship policy, and we have people in our office that are actually used to dealing year in, year out with concerns about residents that are actually in difficult situations. And I know that they do a good job, and I know that as we go through this, through support of council, these people will continue to actually treat our residents and those that are in financial hardship in the manner of which they deserve, and on a confidential basis as well. There are things within this policy that relate to businesses, and I'm pleased to actually see that we've got some things that are happening in this immediately around rebating certain fees and charges that have come through this year, but to actually sort of defer interest payments or interest charging on rates for an extended period of time is going to be particularly important, and to actually have flexibility in terms of dealing with those that are in hardship and may need to have time to readdress how their own financial plans are structured. So I commend this. I think there's a lot of support and work that's actually been done to it. It may actually need tweaking as we go further. It may actually need review. But at this point of time, I think this addresses what we actually might need to do for our community co-op.
Thank you, Councillor
Bell.
What we can do, we do not have the financial resources of state or federal government. I like 14, if we're submitting projects to the government for the recovery that will occur, and that if we can provide some work for people, that would be a great thing. I think Councillor Smith has eloquently stated what we are doing, and I fully support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Anyone else? Councillor Duke.
I've been a small business owner previously, you know, looking forward to the support, not having to pay for the signs out the front of the shops, even though it's a small amount, or the al fresco. It'll help our small businesses get back onto their feet without having to find that extra, you know, $300-$400 a year, or $500 up to $1,000 a year that they need find to do this when they're struggling now. So I see that it's a really good thing. $1 million put aside for COVID-19 is a lot of money, and it's a lot from our coffers to do that. I commend all the community and the staff for doing a great job getting this together and helping to sort out through these things, asking the questions. It started off with a small amount and it built up, and we've done well. And I think it's really good that the councils have put in a lot of requests for different things, spoken about these different sections. And, you know, it's also the community support teams. Community support teams out there that are getting out and helping all these small businesses, these organisations from Winchester right through to Torquay and down to Lawn, the amount of work that Lawn is doing. I'm hoping that these community support teams just don't stop at COVID-19 stops. I hope we keep going with these connections with these groups, the liaise with them. We've done a great job now. We've met groups that haven't been involved in the council before who are now talking to council about different things. I'm hoping that we can keep this community support team operating and working in the future after this, and really bringing that stronger community connection with the Shire Council.
Councillor McKittrick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's very important to note, particularly item 4, that this doesn't replace the rates hardship policy where people aren't affected by COVID-19 issues but still have economic stress in their life. So that's very important. It's also, when you look at items 6 and 9, there is significant funding available for our community and reduction in fees and charges, which every little bit helps. There's a significant amount of money that the Shire is ensuring that the community aren't required to pay, and ensuring that the funding we have can be a challenge or not having sufficient funding. But we're looking at over $1 million in support allocation for this year. It's a significant amount. And as previously said, there's ability for this to be amended when and how things develop. And it's also very important in regards to the tender recommendations, ensuring that the Chief Executive Officer has that power to award the tenders, that these are actually procurements and projects that have already been approved by this council. It's just ensuring that the tender process is streamlined, and it's also where the council will still be aware of who those tenders are, how the process was undertaken. So there is transparency, and it's very important this time to be ensure we can get those projects up and running as soon as possible.
Thank you, Councillor McKittrick. Councillor Wellington.
Although the first thing I'd like to say is I don't think it's really appropriate to have bundled the delegations policy in with the hardship policy. I think they're different issues and they deserve their own consideration at council. Certainly the hardship policy provides for quite a lot of relief for commercial and industrial ratepayers and businesses. And I think, I strongly support that. Effectively, what we're doing is putting aside ratepayers' money to target it back into specific sectors of the economy to try and get things going again at some point in the future. It does concern me. Some of these are very criteria-based, and I think that's a good thing. So you're either entitled or you're not. But there's a fair bit of money in this which is put into a pool which effectively will need to determine how to distribute. And there'll no doubt be a whole swag of good ideas about what might help businesses and all that sort of thing. But there does need to be some real accountability, not just about how we spend it, but what outcomes we get from it. So we could all come up with lots of ideas about what might help people, but there needs to be a level of rigour in this. My biggest concern with the policy, as I said earlier, is the fact that we're not offering the opportunity for people to have waivers of rates if they are in extreme financial hardship. That really concerns me. The City of Greater Geelong is doing it. The City of Melbourne is doing it with strict criteria, obviously, because there is an equity issue between ratepayers. But from my perspective, that should have been included. And I think the prospect of having your private financial circumstances debated in a setting like this is offensive, quite frankly, and I think it's really pitched in a way that no one will apply. So I strongly object to that. On the base, overall, I'm going to support... Sorry, Madam Mayor, did I say...
No, I was flicking my hair. Is that all right?
Overall, I support the policy. I don't think it was a good governance move to put CEO delegations in the middle of it. I support the amendments that Councillor Smith has proposed to those. I think there is no reason why this council can't meet regularly, not in this setting. This is clearly ineffective. If it were raining, it would be even more ineffective. But I can see Councillor Revell struggling to look at his screen. I can't read mine, and I can't hear what others are saying. So it's not an appropriate setting, obviously, and we need to do something better. But we do have technology that we can meet by, and we should be doing that because, to me, transparency and accountability is absolutely fundamental to our values as a council, and we should be adhering to those. And we've got the means to do it. There's no need for us to do it now. So I hope this is the last setting that we have a council meeting in this type of circumstance.
Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Anyone else? Councillor Revell?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also support the policy. I think it recognises our role within the community, and the financial contribution that we are making here is quite significant. I think, again, three criteria that I assess this by. One is helping our communities stay connected. Secondly, it's supporting ratepayers who might be facing hardship. And thirdly, it's supporting businesses through economic recovery. I believe it addresses all of those. In relation to the issue of the allegation, it's important to remember that this originally was intended not to challenge our delegation principles per se, but rather ensure that we remained agile in the face of a situation that none of us could predict. And I believe with the amendments that Councillor Smith has moved, that we have achieved that.
Thank you, Councillor Revell. That's everyone. Councillor Goldsworthy.
Just briefly following on from all those comments, I think it's vitally important that as we consider this reserve that we've put aside of $1 million, that we must clearly listen to our community support groups that are all being set up in the various wards. I see that there is no town that's the same in the Surf Coast Shire. Everyone is going to have different needs. And I don't believe that there should be just a blanket policy that comes out from officers alone to say this is how we'll undertake to allocate funds. I'm not saying they would be allocating $1 million, but I think we've got to make sure, certainly at these times, that we really do listen to how communities see that they wish to turn around their particular economy and support the local community groups.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Councillor Smith, would you like to close?
Look, in closing, I'd just like to say I think that's quite right from Councillor Goldsworthy about the difference in terms of each town and what we consider. And we see that with our weekly conference calls that many of us are being involved in. And the other thing that I think we've got to be really important about considering is that we're in a state where the landscape or the sort of economy or the communities that we live in, the changes are happening very rapidly. Our planning for this meeting was done some 2 or 3 weeks ago, when this is what we actually thought we might be needing to do today. And even in that time, we've had legislation passed through state government that from next week will allow for meetings to be held by video for all councils. So, you know, things are changing. We are, it's a much quicker rate of change than we're ever used to. Anyone that said government was slow, I think we're actually seeing something that proves that government can move quickly and take on board things that will help us. So, look, I think this is a really good policy, good package, including the delegations mean we wrap things up together, because it that change is driven by our assessment of what how we need to act under this scenario of a COVID-19 restrictions.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Smith. And now put the motion, all those in favour. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to the closed section. This is a confidential item for the consideration this afternoon. Can I have a councillor move and second the motion to move into confidential? Thank you, Councillor McKittrick and... Yeah, just a second. Councillor McKittrick and Councillor Duke.
Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Yes, I know. I'm waiting to get that through. So, Ian, I might ask you to move now. We're moving into a closed section. Thank you. Well, that's good then.
Good on you.
It'll be on the thing. So we've got a mover and a second to go into confidential. I'll now put that motion. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, you did too.
With this being going directly into confidential discussion, I've been told that it's because we always do contractual things in confidence. This relates to the Winchelsea Shire Hall, and there's been quite a long-standing dispute really about the lease of the Shire Hall. The community was told 12 months ago by our officers that all the terms were confidential, and that clearly was incorrect. There's a statutory requirement that the terms of leases of this nature be made public, in fact. So there's been unnecessary secrecy to date. The Ombudsman's report into transparency of council proceedings in 2015 actually showed that there's a vast range of practices across Victorian councils, where some councils, like this one, routinely put things into confidential discussion when it's contractual, and others routinely put them into public discussion. My view is that given that it's almost certain that all of the details of this will be made public after the debate, the only thing we're putting into confidential meeting now is the debate. And I think that amounts to improper, lack of transparency of discussion and views between councillors. So I'm voting against going into confidential. It would have been perfectly easy if we needed to keep confidential some of the details of individuals in this, we could have quite easily...
Thank you, Councillor Wellington.
I haven't finished, Madam Mayor. We could have quite easily deleted those from the report and had the report almost in its entirety made public. Okay.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion to go into confidentiality. All those in favour? All those against?
Another division, Madam Mayor.
Yes, just a moment, please. For governance, there were seven councillors for going into confidential, and Councillor Wellington was the only councillor to vote against. Councillor Wellington now has called a division. So could the councillors going into confidentiality please raise their hands? We have Bell, Goldsworthy, Smith, Revell, Hodge, Duke and McKittrick, and those against, Councillor Wellington. So we've now moved out of confidentially, and the meeting is now closed at 1:42 p.m. Thank you.